Welcome to Songcatcher right here on Radio Adelaide, on digital, online, and 101.5 FM. I'm Claire here with Clayton and Billy on the panel, and we're missing Adrian.
Yeah, get well soon, mate. We hope he's up and running.
And back soon.
But most importantly, that he's well.
Absolutely, because we miss him.
Yeah, indeed. Now, tonight's Songcatcher guest is the next in our two WOMAD Adelaide local guests in the lead up to WOMAD next weekend. I'm getting excited. Part of the WOMAD thing, music and dance from all over the world, but of course not just all over the world, some of it's from here.
Well, that's part of the world. Oh, I'm just letting you know, we're part of the world.
Oh, cool.
Here we are.
Well, I didn't realise. Okay, South Australia is on the world map, folks. And tonight's guest is Hannah Brunecki. How you going?
I'm going pretty good, actually.
That's good. Now, congrats on the big gig.
Thank you.
Because it's a big stage and it's lots of fun and there's, you know, there's a good and there's a positive crowd, I think, in general for a WOMAD thing.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to put up chicken wire or Blues Brothers stuff.
Oh, maybe we could help you with that if necessary.
I'll bring some just in case. Okay.
And you'll be playing with your duo thing, Hannah and Jess, but also with... Now, it's the Bad Habits, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hannah and Jess and the Bad... I reckon that's a great name.
That's a great name.
So, we've got Hannah and Jess. It started in Adelaide, but then Jess moved to Melbourne.
Yeah, trailer.
And is it as difficult to manage a duo between Adelaide and Melbourne as it is a long-distance relationship?
Well, I've actually sort of done both, so I can compare. It's like in some ways it makes it difficult because you have to turn things down, but then it also creates more opportunities interstate as well. So for us, it's been it's been quite beneficial because it means that we can still do stuff in Adelaide, but then because of Jess living over in Melbourne, we can also do a fair bit of stuff in Melbourne because the band is kind of split and we've got other, like the drummer is in Melbourne as well. So it's kind of like half here, half there and all over the place, but we make it work.
So your week this week is a Sunday gig at WOMAD.
Yes.
I think a Sunday, but yeah. Before then?
So I'm flying to Melbourne on Thursday arvo and we're playing at the Old Bar for International Women's Day. And it's a special event. It's like a PBS radio after party. And it's also the main reason they're putting on the event is to showcase a whole bunch of really amazing female brewers. Local and interstate female brewers for microbreweries and some other slightly larger, you know, beer companies as well. So they're doing a full, like, they're taking over all the taps.
You sold me.
Yeah, I know. As soon as I heard it was about beer, I was just like, I don't know what it is. Count me in.
I think Clayton's flying over.
Yeah. And so we're just kind of, you know, like, we're part of it. But the main reason they're putting this on is to showcase these amazing brewers. So we get to be part of it, which is awesome. And some of the proceeds go to charity as well. I'm not sure which charity they've chosen yet, but, I'm sure it'll be a good one.
And then driving back to Adelaide, because that's what you do with bands.
Yeah, like, we don't always do that, but we are doing that because flights that weekend, of course, are insanely expensive. And we just thought, well, you know, we can save on... we can save like $500 by not flying, and you know, we'll just enjoy each other's company for those 9 hours in the car like we do.
Well, let's hope it's better than some of Don Mo's stories about bands in a car.
We've done it a few times, like, we're pretty used to it. Me and Jess we drove from Melbourne to Tamworth, just us two, so, and that was like a 14 or 15 hour drive with just the two of us, so, like, we've done it a few times and we're pretty used to it. Yeah.
You've
when
survived.
We don't feel like talking to each other, we just don't talk to each other.
Yeah.
We put on a podcast or something.
So, folks, you might need your WOMAD diaries or your apps at the ready, because that's how you do it these days.
WOMAD app.
You put your WOMAD app on your phone and you work out your favourites, where you're going to be, which stage and when, and where are they going to be in on Sunday, Jess?
Hannah. I can try and be both, but look, I don't have the guitar skills to be Jess.
It could be quite interesting, actually, couldn't it?
I could, I mean, like, you can call me Jess if you want. I don't mind being known as a great guitarist.
I just didn't see Jess come into the studio.
No, we do have, though.
She got locked out, she was late.
But we do have a split personality thing going. Dual identity, Hannah and Jess in the one body, between the one pair of ears.
People think it's two people, but it's actually just me, and I'm schizophrenic. We're on the Moreton Bay stage at 2 p.m. on Sunday. So I think it'll be nice because it'll be a warm day. I think it's meant to be about 30. I'm following the weather religiously because I hate hot weather and I'm a vampire. So I'm just like, please don't be hot. 30 is probably just about, like, if it's more than that, I'll be like, no.
Lucky there's lots of shade.
Yeah, well, that's it. The Moreton Bay stage is great because there's trees and there's lots of shade. So hopefully people will come to that stage anyway because it was shady.
Sounds a good plan to me. Now, we're going to feature mostly Hannah doing live music tonight, but we're going to leave a track from the new CD till last.
Yeah.
A relatively new CD. Just because the year's changed, last year's CD is still pretty new.
It's new because of how long it takes to make it. So I'm like, let's just keep calling it new. We're not doing another one just yet.
So, now, would you like to introduce the first track?
Yes. I'm going to start with a song called I'll Find a Way, which is off the Southlands album. And obviously, normally with the full band, it features some many other instruments. So I'm just going to try and make it work with just a guitar. All right.
I'll find a way to be walked over when I'm standing 10 feet tall. I'll find a way to be heartbroken, though it's so lonely. Yeah.
Hannah Brunecki, live in the studios here of Radio Adelaide. You're listening to Songcatcher on 101.5 FM, maybe on digital, maybe even you're streaming it live, or it could be perhaps you're, what do they call it when they move things in time? Claire, I'm just trying to think. Time shifting.
Yes.
Time shifting. off the listen again feature, or maybe off the podcast.
We're really impressed.
Welcome to the future, if that's the case, or welcome to the past, as it might be. I'm not sure.
You know, here on Songcatcher, we have the privilege of speaking to songwriters and music makers and composers, and so we have a really good time here.
We do indeed, but at the moment we have to ask some really difficult questions of Hannah. Now, this question, yeah, I've got it tonight, haven't I? I've really got it. This question involves disappointment, big disappointment, Hannah. So I'm not sure how you can answer it, but you started with classical guitar at school.
Yes, I did.
And then somewhere along the way you developed a taste for rock and punk. What kind of face did your classical guitar teacher have when he found out that you were doing punk and rock?
I'm pretty sure he was quite disappointed because I'd actually stopped, obviously, playing classical guitar at that point. But I think I was probably about 12 or 13 and I started listening to punk and punk rock and just loved it and loved the chaos of it. And I think at the time as well, there were just a lot of punk bands in Adelaide. There was a really big punk scene, especially sort of like pop punk and melodic punk and stuff like that. So, yeah, I used to go out to gigs as much as I was, allowed to.
That kind of age is fairly young. You found places you could go.
Yeah, there was a lot of all-age events, actually, which it just seems like there's not that much of that around anymore. But there was a lot of all-age punk events, like the O-Ball, like the Adelaide Uni and Flinders Uni O-Balls. They were all ages, which now that I think back to it, probably not such a good idea.
And I think pubs also ought to recognise that, you know, when they look at the business and in terms of the things that they sell, the highest margins that they can make on anything have to be that pouring of soft drink. You know, not the cans and bottles, but the stuff they have on tap. Like, it costs them nearly nothing and they get to sell it for $3 a pint or something.
Or more.
I don't even know if we bought Coca-Cola or anything.
Oh, we're not going to ask you at 13 what you were buying and drinking. No, we're not going to go there.
Yes, we don't know.
Now, your musical influences at home when you were younger, what kinds of things were Mum and Dad playing and then you playing later?
Dad listened to Elvis and Creedence, and that was pretty much it. Like, Cosmos Factory would just be on repeat if we were on a road trip. Sometimes Elvis would sneak in there, but mainly just that album on repeat. And Mum really liked, like, the Beach Boys and Roxette. I have, like, my earliest memories of, like, listening to music and knowing the words to songs would definitely Roxette and even like Boney M and stuff like that. So quite an eclectic mix, all sorts of things. I didn't grow up listening to, like Johnny Cash and Waylon Jennings primarily or anything like that. It was definitely a mix.
Okay, so a bit of variety and instruments. You started with classical guitar and stuck with guitar mainly?
Oh yeah, like I'm not a multi-instrumentalist. Like, I can play a tambourine, if you can count that. And I once played melodica in, like, one song in an old band. But I had to, like, put a lipstick mark on the key I had to start on so I knew where to start. So I'm not. Guitar. I'm just going to go with guitar.
That's a hint for you guys out there. If you want to play melodica, a bit of lipstick's a good thing, evidently.
Yes. It wasn't even my melodica, actually. It's probably still there.
And then perhaps a little bit of, well, we're not going to go do name and shame, but at school, the music scene was a boys' club.
Yeah. I guess primary school, it wasn't, like we were just doing pretty much, playing a musical instrument to get out of class, like to get out of maths or something. But, in high school when you did music, There were just weren't any girls that played music that I was friends with or that I really knew. I think just in general there weren't really any girls that played music. Sort of, but you'd be encouraged to pick up an instrument, and like a few people I knew would pick up drums for, you know, like a couple of months, but then give it up. So I was definitely on my own in terms of, you know, playing guitar or just playing any instrument in school. Like it was only boys that I knew who I was friends with, but you know,
they weren't really inclusive.
No.
Girls doing
they
stuff.
Were, like, when I think back to it, I'm like, why did I tolerate that? Like, they were so mean. Like, they would organize, like, jams and stuff like that, but always leave me out. And so it would be, like, all of them getting together to, like, you know, play punk music and, you know, learn songs. And they would never, ever invite me. And I was just like, you know what? I don't need you.
Yeah. Now they're all playing at home and you've got some big gigs on.
They probably... I don't know what they're doing, but they're probably all married with kids and stuff like that, which is nothing wrong with that, but none of them are playing music, I guarantee it.
They're not playing WOMAD.
They're not playing WOMAD. There you go.
So you stepped out and found some friends once you left school who were musical and of the female variety as well.
Yes.
But not exclusively, I'm sure.
No.
We started in a thing called Ricochet Pete.
Yeah.
So tell us about it.
That name is so funny because it's like such a stupid band name, but it actually came from a Gumby VHS video. It's like this cowboy called Ricochet Pete, and he just like shot up everything, and Gumby and Pokey were like trying to, you know, save the town or whatever. So that's where the name came from. But yeah, it was, I met Shannon through some school friends, I think. She was dating a guy that was friends with some of my friends from school, and we met at a party. Sort of when I was still in high school, but she was super shy and we didn't hang out. And then after I finished high school, I think we bumped into each other and became friends. And then I went and saw her band that she was playing in at the time. And then we just, ended up starting a band together and reeling in. At the time, she was working at Foodland, and there was this trolley boy started, and he had like a Ramones haircut, and she was just like, I bet he's a musician. And it turned out he played drums. So she was like,
he was in.
Band? Yeah, he was in. And he had a basement with a drum kit.
Oh,
and
cool.
Very tolerant parents. So, yeah, we used to just sort of jam in the basement and write songs, and yeah, it was fun.
Probably a good time to go to the next track, which is, it sounds like it might fit where Ricochet Pete was at times. This one's called These Shambles.
Oh, yeah. Actually, Ricochet Pete was like a really easy band to be in. So that band was never a shambles, apart from like occasional guitarists that we'd let in from the outside to the band. So it was actually pretty smooth, actually, that band. I've had way more chaotic experiences after that band ended. All right.
Can't hear the sound of caving walls, only the next stone to stand upon. Weave around the hard wood creaking boards, but that don't mean that it won't break with the last straw. These shambles belong to you. Take the lead. push the pen, that ink will bleed. It's gonna put a stain all over everything we need. We can't fix what's in ruins. Follow me and I'll follow you.
Radio Adelaide.
That was These Shambles, live in the studios of Radio Adelaide, where you're listening to Songcatcher. Jess Brunecki is our guest.
No, it's not.
No, it's
Jess.
Not. It's Hannah Brunecki. I've got it. I've got it on my brain, haven't I? What's going
I
on?
Really hope Jess is listening to this.
She'll be
highly
oh, she'll love it. She'll think, I'm
yeah,
not forgotten.
I don't even have to be there to be there. Now, you had a big change somewhere after your experience with the loud and the brash area of punk.
Mm-hmm.
You went to the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of somewhere like 600 kilometres out of Darwin.
Mm, yeah.
So what was going on? What happened?
I got a very random call from a guy that I used to work with, and he basically just said, hey, do you want to come and work for this company that's just started? It's going to be working working for like a mining company. These were his words. You won't have to go to the mine site really at all, maybe once or twice a year. And I was like, okay, that sounds cool. You know, like, sure. Like, let's just jump in. Like, I've never had anything to do with mining. You know, what could possibly go wrong?
You obviously had some of the skills that they were looking for, though.
Not really, actually. Like, some of them.
You were
I
alive.
Mean, I was, yes, I was breathing. That was one skill. I could walk. That was another skill. Not afraid of being on a plane. Another skill. But yeah, so pretty much I kind of just got thrown in the deep end because I thought I was going to be doing mostly just like, so I had done a degree in industrial design, so I knew how to do sort of 3D CAD modeling, and that's the main reason they wanted me up there, was to do 3D maps and models of mm-hmm. the mine site, like not anything I'd actually done before, very different to mm-hmm. you know,
different
modeling
world,
a box
yeah.
or something in SolidWorks. But yeah, so I got the job, and after 2 weeks they're like, right, so we're sending you up to the mine site. And I was like, cool, so how long am I up there for? And they're like, well, we're not sure yet. So I basically just had a one-way ticket and I flew up into Darwin and I jumped in a road train with one of the guys that carts the ore, and got driven out to this mine site in the middle of nowhere, and had absolutely no idea what I was doing and just kind of fumbled my way through it. And I ended up doing like surveying and all sorts of crazy stuff up there. But so I ended up working up there and would occasionally come home, but spent, you know, I think they tricked me into it because
we won't tell her that she's going to go up there and more or less stay up there.
I probably would have said no. And so I'm glad that they didn't tell me because it was a great experience, even though it was, you know, it was pretty testing. But I was about 600 kilometres southeast of Darwin in the middle of nowhere in the Roper River region. The area was called Nooka. And it was really amazing. It was just this like red dirt landscape with these, you know, like just so many different animals that, you know, are just everywhere all the time, like snakes, thousands of snakes. Oh my God, I could have just called it like Snake Valley or something, because I swear I would see a snake every 5 minutes. It was just, yeah, you get used to it, but you know, you don't at the same time. Crocodiles, birds, like, but like every sort of bug you can imagine. Yeah, it was pretty full on, like to get thrown in the middle of it up there. But it allowed a lot of time for, you know, for working on yourself because there was not a lot to do up there.
What about musically? How did it affect you musically?
Well, I took a guitar up there.
Thank goodness.
Yes, because I didn't realize there was no phone reception and no internet and no, you know, obviously no TV. I didn't care about that. But having no phone reception and no internet, I was kind of like, okay, like literally, I'm okay. What you know, what
even,
do you do?
Even the business didn't have internet connections?
Yeah, like they had like an office, and if you sat near the office, you could get a small bit of reception and maybe send mm-hmm. an email, maybe. Mm. But if more than three people were using it at the same time, like, just forget about it. It was completely useless. And then one phone line, and so people would use the phone to, like, call their families. And most people, you know, like, were married and had kids and stuff, like a lot of the guys. So I was like, ah, you know, whatever. You use the phone, I'll just...
But you got a new soundtrack to your life about then.
Yeah, definitely. I wrote a lot up there because, there wasn't much to do. But I listened to a lot of country music. It definitely suited the surroundings. But a lot of the guys I worked with listened to a lot of country as well. So I got introduced to quite a bit of stuff I hadn't heard before. So, yeah, I think, you know, when you're in a completely new environment and I guess shut off from the outside world, then it leaves you more open to be influenced by, you know, things other than just music, you know, like the environment influences you as well. So, yeah.
Not lots of animals and snake songs, though.
I'm yet to write a song about not stepping on snakes, but it's on the next
it's
album.
It's going to be one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I think we better get into the next song because otherwise we're going to be running way behind instead of just usually behind. So, next up, I think every time you come around?
Yeah, or I can play, well, I don't know if you want me to do that one or Road to Ruin because it's actually about what we were just talking about.
Okay, well, if you'd like to do that, that's fine.
That probably makes more sense.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you want, you can ask more questions.
Swap it around.
But yeah, all right, cool.
Song's called Road to Ruin.
Silent nights to be alone. Plagues of locusts and croaking toads. Fathers miss their daughters. Money clouds of waters. When you need someone, there's only a swinging door. Fly by this desert's part of us. Sleep away the hours to be closer to home. Stars shine brighter with nowhere to go. Save me, I've been lost.
Radio Adelaide.
And you're back with Songcatcher, where we've just been listening to Hannah Bronecki. And that was The Road to Ruin.
Well, we're just trying to work out something going What's slightly wrong in the background. Sorry about that. Road to Ruin, a song, well, inspired a little bit by Hannah's being out, way out in, I guess, what most of us call the outback.
Well, yes. It looks like the outback, at least, anyway. But, yeah, I would say it's definitely the outback.
Way outback.
The road to, yeah, way outback. Very far from civilization. Yeah, Road to Ruin was, like, the nickname for the Roper River Highway, which was the road that turned off from once you got to Mataranka, you turned off onto the Roper River Highway, and that was the road that you would stay on to get to the mine site and the camp. And it was the most terrible road to drive on because it was just pummeled by road trains. It was just broken up. The first time I did, but after that I was always in a ute, and often on my own. And so, you know, I'd do that 6-hour trip, like, just sort of in one hit. But yeah, that, and it was almost a single lane road as well. So if you came head on to a road train, you had to pull off. You know, pull all the way off the road. Yeah, get out of the way. So it was just like but like Road to Ruin, obviously, because the road was in terrible condition. But it was sort of like the road to sort of like, as a joke, kind of ruining your life because you were just going out into this miserable isolation.
Was there anything past this mine site on that road, or is that just where it went, full stop?
If you kept going, you would go to Tennant Creek, I think. I think that was like if you – and then maybe towards Alice Springs.
Eventually.
Eventually.
That's not on the main road. It's off the main road.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And we were like 20 kilometres off of that road again. So it was like Rope River and then turning off onto another dirt road. So, yeah, it was – yeah. But that was just the nickname for the road because it was like, you know, the road to misery.
Well, you survived a little while there.
We did. Yeah,
you got a whole pile of songs to talk about after or true. To That's play true. Afterwards.
Yeah.
Now, we've just swapped around what was going to be our talk about song. Are you happy that we do every time you come around as our talk about song? Because we haven't heard much of what inspires you to write, nor how you go about it yet.
Well, yeah, I can talk about that rather than the context of it, talk about maybe just how it was written or something.
Sure.
Because actually, out of all the songs on the album, that was the one that we left finished writing until we were pretty much in the studio. We just couldn't, like, we were having so much trouble coming up with a chorus and how the song was laid out, and we just kept getting stuck on it.
So you had verses and you had kind of melodies and things like that.
Yeah, we had a basic idea, but it wasn't working. And I was writing with this guy called Nick Finch, who plays in this Melbourne band called Graveyard Train, who are awesome, amazing, kind of like gravelly, I don't know, dirty country kind of band that they did really well for quite a while. So we were writing together and we were in the studio, and this song was just such a pain, and I was ready to ditch it. I was just like, I don't think this is going to work. Like, and then Nick was like, no, let's make it work. And we were just sort of throwing ideas around, and we ended up, you know, finishing it in the studio, but it still was missing something. And I had this idea to bring in some backing vocalists to do some stuff on a few songs. And I just thought, like, what if we get them to do kind of gospel-y stuff and turn it into more of a soul, kind of more of a soul song? And I messaged, like, all the singers that I knew in Melbourne, or all of my favourite singers in Melbourne, and all of them said, I expected, like, two to say yes, but all of them said yes, except one, Lucy, who's from this amazing soul band called the Sugar Canes, and she was sick. But all of the others said yes, so I think there was, like, six of them all together, and I was like, whoa, this is going to be...
Like the gospel chorus time, was
Yeah,
it?
This is going to be big, because they're all lead singers, they all have big voices, so I was like, either this is going to be really difficult and everyone's going to be a diva and clash, or it's going to work. Like, who knows? Because they'd never even heard the song before, and they just came into the studio, and I played it to them, and they just started. And part of it's on video, actually. Like, it's probably on our Facebook page somewhere. But they just started singing, and they just automatically went into harmonies, and I just got goosebumps, and I was like, oh, my God, this is exactly what I wanted. This is insane. And so after that, I was kind of like, do you guys want to sing on a few more songs? I think they ended up doing four.
Because you got them there, may as well use your time productively.
Like, exactly. And I was like, you guys stay here. I'm going to go out and get pizza. And so I literally sprinted down the road and I came back with pizzas and five bottles of wine and a bottle of whiskey. And they were happy. They're like, we'll keep going as long as you want till it runs dry. So yeah, it was so much fun. And I actually didn't know any of them very well at the time either. They were just kind of friends of friends or acquaintances. And now they're all really good friends. So yeah, and I've recorded on one of their albums as well, two of their albums. Yeah, so it's been awesome to collaborate.
A bit of a community thing, wasn't it? You really started a community thing, or at least made one happen.
Oh, it was an absolute blast. It was real fun.
So when you've got a song that doesn't quite work and you need a chorus, just phone six randoms that have got great voices.
Yeah, put them together in a room. Bottle of whiskey, a few bottles of red wine.
And don't forget the pizza.
Don't forget the pizza. Actually, the booze came first and then the pizza came later. Probably a little bit too late, to be honest. I was quite sick the next day, but we'll talk about that. It was fun.
Well, there you go. So that's a different way to complete a song.
Yeah.
If you get stuck. But it's a creative way.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, totally.
Obviously it worked.
Yeah.
Now, we've got that version on a CD or we've got it live in the studios. What shall we have?
Oh, that's a hard decision. I'll put it to you guys. What do you guys want to hear? Now that I've been talking about the gospel vocals, you should probably hear the recorded version maybe.
I reckon it'd probably be a good idea.
Yeah.
You've got to select program. If you can. We'll just line that up while we talk a little bit more about it. So he's got to sort out, wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Does that happen often that you get stuck with songs?
Point? All the time. I always have pieces of songs and they just, you end up with having a chorus here and a verse there and bits and pieces. Sometimes you can mash them together, but other times you just end up with heaps of unfinished songs.
Is that the first time you've done that kind of thing to finish one?
Oh, definitely. I'd never co-written with anyone before, so that was a new experience and quite good because Nick was just brutally honest. If he didn't I probably wrote about 30 songs and I just was sending him stuff and then we would work on ones and sometimes he'd just be like, yeah, that one's just not good. And it was really hard to sort of process that at first.
He was demanding.
Yeah, but I was kind of, it's nice to, as brutally honest as that is, it's nice to actually hear a really honest opinion because I feel it's really hard to get an honest opinion out of someone. If someone just came up to me and were like, what do you exactly think of this song I'd written? If I didn't know them, I don't know if I'd want to be blatantly honest, but he was totally comfortable with it. But it was, yeah, exactly. But he was honest because he knew it was a working relationship. So it was, it ended up being great. And so I feel like we, came up with some things together that we wouldn't have done otherwise if I'd just done it on my own.
But also the songs are the strong songs. There's no doubt about that in anybody's mind from what I'm hearing. Yeah?
The ones with the backing vocals?
Well, no, the ones that you recorded.
Oh, yeah, out of the ones that, yeah, now that I look at the other ones that we ditched, they were, the ones that we ended up with on the record are definitely the best ones of the bunch. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it,
Okay.
Throw them all into a hat.
So this is Hannah and Jess and?
And the Bad Habits.
And a choir.
And I called them the Kill Street Gospel Choir, because that was the street of the recording studio.
Every time you come around.
I ain't searching for no sympathy, but I got blues to drown. 'Cause I've been aching for your company. My head above water, but it's dark and stormy seas. I've been crying.
they start to dream. Spend all day dreaming. They never made the lead. I've been buying out, feeling up and down, trying to make up my mind. There's nothing to gain. I lose my way. You slow me down. Every time you come around, every time you come around here, can't feel my feet on solid ground.
Radio Adelaide.
And we're having fun here on Songcatcher tonight. We've got Hannah Bernecki in the studio, and sometimes we have Jess popping in and out. Not sure how.
Jess. The spirit of Jess is here.
The spirit of Jess is here indeed. And that was a gorgeous version of the track Every Time You Come Around, with the story live that we heard about a single microphone.
The some six
great,
singers.
Some great voices from various Adelaide bands who are all lead singers coming into the studio.
Melbourne
actually
bands.
Actually all Melbourne bands.
All yes. Melbourne.
Yeah, because we recorded in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So was beautiful voices though, wasn't it? Just and a lovely time. So the country thing, you went a little bit towards the country when you went out bush, came back and started country.
Yeah.
And then we've got this, well, I don't know, how tempted are you to go country gospel if you can grab those beautiful voices and make them sing. Whoa, love it.
I've always loved soul music. I've always been a huge like Aretha Franklin, Etta James and Dusty Springfield fan, like, you know, all that sort of stuff that kind of borders soul but could kind of go slightly country and
gospel at least as well.
Yeah, totally. Like the Staple Singers and all that sort of stuff. So that's, I guess, sort of where that sort of influence comes from.
So in your travels, did you run across that? Because you did travel in the States, in the U.S.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've been to the U.S. a bunch of times and been over to Europe. And, I definitely saw a lot of that. And I saw a lot of that crossover as well, like between sort of country and soul, or country and soul and gospel and, you know, all these things mixed together, especially in places like Nashville where you just have every sort of version of country. Yeah. I love Nashville. It's just the best.
Okay. You're listening to Songcatcher on Radio Adelaide, where we're rapidly running out of time, so we're going to ask Jess to play one more song live in the studios here before it's just about time to head out. Now, this is evidently going to be the new single.
Yes, there's a film clip being made for it. So when that's done, hopefully we'll be able to release it sometime in April.
So this is Southland.
Yes, it's called Southlands.
Grown in the Southlands, betraying my home, purge my possessions, running and roam. If I could find the words, you'd hear them echo through. She don't how to love you like I do. If I keep waiting, there'll be no way out. The suffocating hour and hour and hour. This place, it don't need me now. I hear it all her blue. She don't know how to love you like I do. I'll cross over borders, leaving no stone. No need to retrace. I found the unknown. A new retrospective. Never too late. There is no right time and no deadlines. Just the hard times when it's high time.
Southlands, what a fantastic song.
I hope I didn't deafen anyone just then.
Nah. That was perfect.
That's called a diaphragm working.
Mm.
Yeah, that's an important part of the voice, of course, to carry that voice. And you've got one that works pretty damn well.
I don't know how, because I punish it a lot.
maybe some of that punishment is exercise. Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's how it works, isn't it?
Muscles get stronger. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, we've only got a little bit of time left.
Like about
how do people,
2 minutes.
Besides Sunday coming up at WOMED, how do people catch up with Hannah and Jess or Hannah or whatever's going on around the place for you?
After WOMED, we're actually having sort of like a few months off of playing gigs. We've got a festival in New South Wales, the Gumball Festival, which will be great. We'll be back in, I think, August for... I'm actually not sure if I'm meant to announce it, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Please don't get me in trouble. No, it's okay. Whoever's involved is not listening. The Guitar Festival. So we'll be back for that.
Lovely.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Hannah and Jess and the Bad Habits, look out at WOMED Sunday at 2
the Moreton Bay Stage.
Moreton Bay Stage, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous place to just sit and chill, actually.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. Good luck to you and all the best for
Thank
that.
You.
And this new CD, getting it out there. We were hearing Southland, which is the title track. We're going to love and leave you with Maurice's To Pieces shortly, but other announcements? Well, we've got 2 weeks of Fringing left, folks, so get out there and see some live music, live theatre. It's all happening.
Live
Don't
comedy, it's
it.
All there.
Oh, there's so much. I've seen a lot of shows. There's so much good stuff.
And I think it's Friday night, but I've got written down Saturday, March the 10th, so I think I'm just confused. But the Stone Ponies on this weekend, Laura Hill and Ben Searcy Band, or Searcy
That'll
Band.
That'll be a good one.
That'll be lots of fun. Next week, Rob Scott's going to be here for Mixtape and for Songcatcher, and we're going to love and leave you. Billy's saying it's just about time to go. Oh, no. Oh, no, we have to leave you. No, we don't have to leave, Claire.
No, Mixtape is up next, so stay tuned. And we're going to miss Hannah and Jess being in the studio.
Yeah. Night-night, Jess. Night-night, Hannah. Caitlin Adams will be with us very, very shortly.
Radio Adelaide on digital radio, online and 101.5 FM.
Watching as the dust rolls through the open air.